On June 26, 2000, Attorney Janet Harbury filed a complaint with Attorney General Janet Reno, requesting a full investigation into the ethical and professional misconduct of all involved Justice Department officials, including officers from the FBI as well as the U.S. Attorney's Office. The complaint requests that the investigation begin with the overall conduct of affairs on Pine Ridge Reservation from 1973 to 1976, include the entire investigation and judicial process in the case of Leonard Peltier, and focus as well on the current actions and public statements by various public officials involved in the current FBI campaign to block parole or clemency for Leonard Peltier. As the result of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, 12,000 FBI documents pertaining to the Peltier case were released in 1980. Contained in the formerly withheld documents was a multitude of substantial evidence that should have been available to the defense during trial. Had it been, say supporters, Leonard Peltier would have most definitely been acquitted. Such evidence included formerly withheld ballistics reports proving that the critical shell casing tied to Leonard's alleged gun during trial, in fact, did not match. The FBI continues to withhold 6,000 documents under the guise of national security today. According to U.S. Parole Commission guidelines, Leonard Peltier has been eligible to be released since 1991. Despite this, the commission is consistently denying him parole without rationally justifying their reasons as the law requires. They originally denied him parole in 1993, asserting that he was responsible for the execution of agents and that the heinous nature of such a crime is undeserving of parole consideration. However, at a subsequent review hearing, his attorneys presented a recording of the prosecutor Lynn Crooks admitting several times that the government cannot prove who killed agents or what participation Leonard may have had in their deaths. The commission then acknowledged the lack of proof against Leonard, but they denied him parole anyway for not admitting his guilt. In short, they want him to admit to a crime he says he didn't commit. The commission has treated the case with blatant discrimination. For example, in 1998, the parole examiner told Leonard, "I realize that you are what is often called a Native American, who is also called an Indian. But the facts of this case are that someone killed these individuals, that they are dead, and they were in fact murdered, and someone from that nation, someone present on that date, that appears to have been a part of your nation, committed these crimes. Unfortunately, you, Mr. Peltier, are the one and only person who was convicted in this matter." In his most recent parole review hearing, June 12, 2000, the parole examiner refused to even read or consider the arguments presented by Leonard's attorneys, and he wrote his recommendation that the parole be denied before the hearing was concluded. Now ineligible for parole again until 2008, and not expecting to live that long if forced to endure the conditions he suffered under for the past 25 years, Peltier's hopes lie in the possibility of a presidential pardon in the form of executive clemency. On November 7th, the President of the United States told Pacifica's Amy Goodman that he'd received the clemency petition for Peltier and would decide on it before leaving office. Since then, the campaign to free Peltier has taken off with renewed energy, and rallies are planned throughout the country for December 10th, the upcoming anniversary of the Declaration of Universal Human Rights Day. I'm Rob Callahan for KVSC News, talking with Vernon Belcourt of the American Indian Movement in Minneapolis.
It was in 1975, again, at a community called the Jumping Bull Community on the Oglala Lakota Nation, which is often referred to as the Pine Ridge Sioux Reservation in southwestern South Dakota, just bordering the Nebraska border. And Rod, before we go any further, I would urge you to, you and your listening audience, to visit our website, which is AI Movement. That's one word. It would be AIM Movement with one M. AIMovement.org. And go to Ministry for Information, where they will see a file, the United States War Against the American Indian Movement. From there, that'll take you to the Council on Security and Intelligence, where they can download several hundred pages of federal documents from the FBI, the Justice Department, the White House, and the Central Intelligence Agency, which were declassified under the Freedom of Information Act. What they will see is a sampling of 17,000 pages that were collected, or at least those that were released under the Freedom of Information Act. There were actually more than 23,000 documents. Of course, we cannot get over 6,000 documents. Our attorneys have tried and tried for the past 24 years to get the documents declassified, because therein we feel lies the answers to a lot of questions, particularly having to do with a campaign that began in the Nixon White House in 1972, when we Native people and non-Native friends and supporters across the country, in a campaign called the Trail of Broken Treaties, converged on Washington, D.C. to petition the Congress of the United States and the White House for redress of our grievances, historical and to the present. And, of course, what we found when we got to Washington, and the Americans found later, that it was during that time that the Nixon administration had just won their second election in November of 72, and were, in fact, totally preoccupied and unable to deal with us in an honorable fashion due to the fact that they were then covering up the excesses and the crimes of Watergate. And, of course, that situation deteriorated to where we were under siege in the Bureau of Indian Affairs building for over 7 days. Eventually, our elders negotiated a resolution to the impasse with the Nixon administration, specifically John Ehrlichman, Bob Haldeman, Leonard Garment, and John Dean were the principal players. What we found out later in having the documents declassified, that there were actually communications at that very moment between the Nixon White House, John Dean, and the then acting director of the FBI, Mark Felt, which put into play a deep covert and even deeper than COINTELPRO, which we knew targeted Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and we know the results of that. And, of course, Fred Hampton in Chicago as well, targeting the National Organization of Women, which eventually became known as the National Organization of Women, the Black Panther Party, and the American Indian Movement. And in these documents, they will find that the Nixon White House, out of their paranoia, started a deep covert program to recruit what they characterize now as extremist informants, Indians and non-Indians masquerading as Indians, to infiltrate the American Indian Movement for the purpose of demonizing, villainizing the leadership of the movement to destroy the movement, which campaign is incidentally going on at this very moment, and you can again find that on our website under Ministry for Information, to infiltrate, disrupt, misdirect, and to destroy the American Indian Movement. It was out of those FBI excesses that eventually we went to Wounded Knee to bring about worldwide attention to the conditions facing Native people. That was in 1973, following the Trail of Broken Treaties caravans to Washington. Incidentally, that document called the Trail of Broken Treaties Indian Manifesto, 20 points, can be found under our website, under AIM Archives, and they will see the visionary document which sparked total U.S. government FBI excesses against our movement, which in fact these extremist informants infiltrating the movement literally sparked the gunfight at the Jumping Bull community, whereby Jack Kohler and Ronald Williams, two FBI agents, and a young Indian man by the name of Joe Stunz, or Joe Kilsright, who was murdered by the FBI, died on that day. And so we know that it was a botched FBI job using these extremist informants that got out of hand, that not only the FBI inadvertently sacrificed two of their own agents and killed Joe Stunz, and the results of that is Leonard Peltier is still in prison after 24 years. One other point that should be made on that, in regards to that, it was the FBI that was arming and advising mercenaries called goons, guardians of the Ogallala Nation, which were nothing more than mercenaries who were being engineered, trained, and armed by the FBI, which in turn created a climate of violence on the Pine Ridge Ogallala Lakota Nation that not only led to a botched job, and I repeat, the death of Jack Kohler and Ron Williams and Joe Stuntz, the imprisonment of Leonard Peltier, but as outrageous, that same campaign led to the death of a young Mi'kmaq Indian woman by the name of Anna Mae Aquash. So you can, your listeners will understand why the FBI continues to try to cover this up by, one, the government denied Leonard Peltier a new trial, which he should have had. And on the basis of that, that not only was Leonard Peltier victimized, but the two FBI agents and their families were victimized. And of course, the FBI tries to pit those families against us. There's no doubt, that the, U.S. attorney stated very clearly that they don't know who shot the agents, but they're assuming that because Leonard Peltier was there, he has to be guilty. Nothing could be more outrageous, Rod, and we would hope that your listeners would join us beginning on December 6th at the Peacemaker Center, which is on the corner of 24th Street and Cedar Avenue in South Minneapolis. We'll have four teepees erected for an interdenominational prayer vigil and fast, followed on the 10th, of course, is International Human Rights Day. And we're going to have a march from the Peacemaker Center on 24th and Cedar, beginning at 11 a.m., arriving at the Basilica of St. Mary's, which is the large Catholic basilica on the corner of Lyndale and Hennepin Avenue, for prayer ceremony, speakers, and of course we will then join the parishioners of St. Mary's Basilica from 2 to 4 for a human rights program commemorating International Human Rights Day. And it'll be a good opportunity for people to learn more about this case. Followed at 4 to 6 p.m., we'll go back to the Peacemaker Center on 24th and Cedar, where we will have American Indian Movement slide presentations by Dick Bancroft, and of course slide presentations and videos on the case of Leonard Peltier, so people will be able to be better informed about this situation. And of course, if I might, I would like to list a phone number for those that may want to come down and need additional information. They can get information by calling the Peacemaker Center, 612-724-3129.
After Kohler and Williams were killed, the FBI said during the, and after the trial, they weren't sure exactly who killed the agents, but they insisted that somebody had to pay. And Leonard Peltier, of course, became that somebody. Did they ever ask, did they ever demand that somebody had to pay for the death of Joe Stuntz or Anna Mae?
Well, absolutely not. The problem, you know, the real contradiction here, of course, is that you well point out is that who is going to be held responsible for the death of Pedro Bissonnette, Buddy Lamont, who came back and served with valor in Vietnam, came back to stand with these people who were killed by FBI or federal marshals or BIA police snipers at Wounded Knee, Frank Clearwater, Jeanette Bissonnette, Anita Wilcox, Jancita Eagle Deer, Byron DeSursa, we can go on and list at least two dozen men and women who were murdered on the Pine Ridge Reservation, at Wounded Knee, and on the periphery in the community due to FBI-orchestrated campaign of terror using, again, what they call goons, guardians of the Ogallala Nation, and, of course, nothing more than mercenaries, some who have come forward and admitted that they were actually provided with arms and ammunition and advice on to how to continue this campaign of terror. So there have been literally at least two dozen others, in addition to Anna Mae Aquash, whose deaths have gone, for the most part, uninvestigated. And, of course, we know there have been several grand juries looking into the details surrounding the death of Anna Mae Aquash, but none have returned any indictments. And of course, again, we believe very strongly that it is these extremist informants that were operating that created the conditions that led not only to the botched murder of Joe Stuntz, Jack Kohler, Ron Williams, the two FBI agents, and of course eventually led to the death of Anna Mae Aquash and at least two dozen others. The Minneapolis Tribune, Saturday morning, following my appearance on WCCO radio here out of Minneapolis, and of course a long campaign of over 20-some years, which in fact, 2 weeks ago, Nelson Mandela was a guest of NAACP, and along with Bishop Desmond Tutu. Bishop Tutu wasn't here, but Nelson Mandela received a prestigious award from the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It gave my brother Clyde, his Indian name, Negan Wewebidun, an opportunity to visit briefly with Nelson Mandela, who, along with Bishop Tutu, had previously endorsed executive clemency among hundreds of well-known people worldwide and organizations who have called for executive clemency for Leonard Peltier. My brother asked Nelson Mandela that worldwide people used to say, "Free Mandela, free Peltier." He said, "Now, Mr. President, you're free, but Leonard Peltier still languishes in prison. We need to have you call the White House and talk to Bill Clinton. And we know you're on record supporting executive clemency, but it would be critical for you, Mr. President, to call." And he acknowledged that he would. Following all of that, of course, the Minneapolis Tribune, and it's one of its lead editorials in the Saturday morning paper this past Saturday, called also for the President of the United States to grant a Christmas executive clemency to Leonard Peltier. Previously, President Bill Clinton had indicated that he has just now gotten around, even though for the past 7.5 years we've tried to get him to take a look at the case, as we did with George Bush and Jimmy Carter and other presidents, that he has just now gotten around to reviewing the Peltier case along with seven other cases. So we would urge your listeners out there who believe in justice and believe that Leonard Peltier has suffered enough, even if he did commit the crimes, has certainly suffered enough, but we know there's enough evidence out there to see that very clearly that Leonard Peltier is a victim of the same kind of FBI excesses under J. Edgar Hoover, later by Mark Felt, and it's time for President Clinton to grant executive clemency. And again, Rod, I would urge your listeners to go to our website, aimovement.org, and go to Ministry for Information, and you'll see using a former personality in our movement who we've always felt was probably one of these extremist informants and undercover agents who has come out of the closet and has made accusations about who was responsible for the death of Anna Mae, along with a literary, academic, and Indian fraud who has fooled a lot of the progressive and liberal establishment, particularly the literary world and academia, who holds a position on the University of Colorado in Boulder of Indian Studies, who, again, I will repeat, is an Indian literary and academic fraud, and no doubt one of these plants that they've planted in the American Indian Movement. And once people read that report, the U.S. War Against the American Indian Movement, and go to the Council on Security and Intelligence, I believe they will agree with us that we're on the verge of really breaking this case finally as to how far the FBI went and continued to go to try to destroy this movement, who has stood for nothing more than treaty rights, spiritual and cultural rights, through fishing rights, land rights, the right of our young people to be educated. The government agreed, while we ceded vast areas of land for immigrant settlement, to provide us with hospitals. We still suffer the worst health conditions on our reservations. To provide us with education opportunity, our young people are still having a difficult time staying in various institutions of education. But when we start talking about sovereignty, self-determination, colonialism, neocolonialism, it brought down the fierce terror and wrath of the U.S. government through its agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the CIA. They will find one document that the CIA was actually involved in this campaign against us, and in one such document, they call for Leonard Peltier and Frank Blackhorse to be locked into the Resmurs. Resmurs being a code word for reservation murders, dealing with the death of Joe Stunson, the two FBI agents specifically. So there was no doubt a campaign to destroy the leadership of the American Indian Movement. Leonard Peltier was vulnerable, and of course they dogged him until they finally did get a conviction, but we believe that conviction should now be set aside with President Clinton granting executive clemency.
For the first time in our history, a president has agreed to look at the clemency petition for Peltier coming up this week. From the 6th to the 10th, there's a four-day prayer and vigil at the Peacemaker Center, and December 10th, of course, the march from Peacemaker to Basilica of St. Mary's, and more education back at the Peacemaker. I want to thank you for the call today, Vernon.
Surely. Let me just give that number again for information, 612-724-3129. And the Peacemaker Center is on the corner of 24th Street and Cedar Avenue, next to the tennis courts. They'll see a freestanding building there with a large sign and murals on the sides called the Peacemaker Center. And, of course, the vigil will be held in four teepees beginning on the 6th. And we would urge everyone out there that believes in peace and justice to come and join with us for any amount of time that you can, and let us put our prayers together, and as Sitting Bull said, let us put our minds together to see what life we can make for our children and our grandchildren. So I thank you very much, Rod, and your radio station there for taking the time to deal with this very important issue.
Again, for more information, see the American Indian Movement's website at www.aimovement.org or call the Peacemaker Center at area code 612-724-3129. Listeners should note that I tried to contact the FBI for an interview as well, but they have yet to return any calls. For KVSC News, I'm Rob Callahan.